This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Baxter with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London. He's also the author of a book. I attended his book party, his book presentation in Manhattan many years ago before the pandemic. It was quite fun. The story is The Theft of a Decade. Subtitle tells the story, how the baby boomers stole the millennials' economic future. I am a boomer. Joe, wonderfully, is a millennial, as are my children. I paid a great deal of attention to his case, and now I'm going to take that wonderful title. The book is, you're welcome to the book, because it tells a continuing story, and note the what appears to be the reverse of fortune. That is, a young man named Sam Bankman-Fried, who is a millennial, and a company called FTX and something called Alameda. It gets very complicated. But right now we're told that there's billions and billions missing, perhaps stolen, perhaps up in smoke, about crypto. And Joe, does this qualify as turning the tables? A millennial finally got back at the boomers who invested in FTX and now can't find their money?
Well, I think that depends entirely on how much avocado toast Sam Bankman-Fried bought with all of the whatever money he managed to earn from this enterprise. I mean, what's kind of interesting about this is that it actually does, in a sense, illustrate a problem that millennials have had in the economy. This was all entirely an artifact of bad economic policy from the government. I mean, we were only ever talking about crypto at all because we were stuck living in this world of ultra low interest rates and quantitative easing and very distorted investment that tended to favor financial engineering and financial products over actual productive investment in the Main Street economy, that favored tech over a bunch of other sectors. Sam Bankman-Fried, by all accounts, seems to have been the millennial who tried to cash in on that trend, which has been so bad for so many other millennials economically. I mean, there's a question right now swirling about whether he tried to cash in honestly, or allegedly he may have tried to cash in dishonestly at times. But I think that the reality is that he is a millennial whose business was very much a product of its time.
And the time is ticking. So we will leave it alone, because this is an unfinished story. There are whoppers before us. And we will turn to the real economy, the economy that is now a puzzle to many on Wall Street, in the big banks, all the central bankers, the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, the Bank of England, Mr. Bailey, and the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell. I read from the headlines and these last days. John Williams, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, said the central bank needed to do more to stamp out price pressures that have proven surprisingly persistent across a wide array of goods and services following the pandemic. Mr. Williams said he expected the unemployment rate to rise above from its current level of 3.7 to between 4.5 and 5 by the end of next year as the Fed takes further steps to tighten monetary policy. Mr. Williams also mentioned that what we're looking at is hikes possibly into 2024. Joe, it doesn't seem like he said anything very controversial, or did he? Was there anything fresh here, or is this logical from where the Fed's been these last hikes?
Well, I mean, I think that the big question continues to be exactly what does the Fed think that it's doing? And then how long is the Fed going to continue to do it? And so I think that, there's no getting around the fact that they do not seem to be clear right now on what relationship, if any, there might be between the level of employment or unemployment and inflation in the economy. They don't seem to understand what they might need to do to interest rates or to quantitative tightening, meaning the size of their balance sheet, in order to get inflation under control. They don't seem to have a good idea of what the pace of change in the future should be, because they are saying that they don't really understand what effect the policy changes they've implemented up to now might have in the future. And so that kind of leaves everyone in the situation where we're hanging on every speech from a Fed official to try to discern some clue about what they're going to do in the future. And I'm increasingly trying to resist that, just because it's not really clear to me that they know what they're going to need to do in the future. I think that they are kind of feeling their way along as they go.
Christine Lagarde in Europe, not to leave out the central banker of Europe, has said that she sees more hikes ahead. She's not saying anything controversial. Europe understands this. Is that correct, Joe?
Yes, I think that there is a realization that, you know, the situation in Europe is somewhat different from it is in the U.S. because the European Central Bank was especially late in starting to, you know, increase interest rates, engage in some of the, in fact, it hasn't really started quantitative tightening in any meaningful sense at all. And so I think that now the message Lagarde is going to have to send is that they will continue moving very aggressively for the foreseeable future, at least so they can start catching up to where the Fed and to a lesser extent the Bank of England are right now.
And we come now to the mysteries of the bond market. I read this, not that I understand it, but that I'm certain it's telling me something important about the near future. Yield curve inversion reaches new extremes. Subhead, Wall Street Journal. Unusual relationship between treasury yields reflects investors' bets on easing inflation and future rate cuts. Joe, I think yield curve inversion means look out ahead, iceberg, sometimes known as a recession. But the interpretation by the Wall Street Journal, a distinguished writer of lead headlines, is that it's a good thing that the recession is ahead because the Fed will need to slash borrowing costs to revive a faltering economy. Is that too many twists of the curve, Joe?
Well, I think that it's hard to know what any of this means right now. So, of course, the yield curve refers to the interest rates or yields that the market produces by its pricing for bonds of various durations. So, I mean, ordinarily, for example, you would expect that the interest rate on a two-year U.S. Treasury bond would be lower than the yield or interest rate on a 10-year. But when that relationship changes, when the short-term interest rates become higher than the long-term interest rate, historically that was viewed as a sign that a recession was on the way. Now, I don't think that's necessarily been a reliable guide for a long time because the Fed's quantitative easing program and the bonds that they buy at various maturities on the yield curve have the effect of distorting the yield curve itself. So you can no longer really say that the market is sending a message there. And then trying to interpret whatever market message there might be there becomes more and more complicated as you're trying to understand how inflation might weigh in that or the extent to which markets might be starting to bet on a particular Fed course of action. And it's really difficult to interpret the yield curve as a meaningful indicator of what will happen to the economy in the future. As soon as you start to question, is the market betting on the future path of the economy, or is the market betting on the future path of the Federal Reserve? And I kind of suspect that there's a great deal of the latter going on right there. So again, I mean, this is one of those things where it could be a useful market signal, but I increasingly find myself trying to resist the urge to read too much into it.
Much easier for me to understand is the situation in the United Kingdom, because Jeremy Hunt has already declared that the UK is in a recession. And so therefore, I want to establish a clarity. If you're in a recession, in other words, your GDP has declined, do you feel it? Do you see it? Is it showed up in the bond market? Is there stability in the city? Anything positive for us to look forward to if we go into a recession?
Well, this is a very strange recession because, I mean, certainly there is an awful lot of evidence of ill ease in the economy. Consumer confidence is really starting to take a hit, and that is partly a function of all of the inflation that the UK has already experienced, what's happening to people's grocery bills and their energy bills, how that saps the capacity to consume anything else. But you haven't yet seen the big spike in unemployment that you would expect. And, I think that the stock market is certainly not anywhere near its peaks, which is true of stock markets everywhere. But you don't necessarily see acute signs of financial distress yet. So I think that whatever recession comes, it's probably going to be a very unusual recession because we are coming out of such an unusual couple of years.
In other words, are we looking to explain something that can't be explained because we've never been here before? Is that it? Is this the reason that predictions are so wide is because of the pandemic? Is that it, Joe?
I think so. I mean, when have we ever been in a situation before where you had this combination of very high inflation, but then also having just emerged from a global pandemic that completely disrupted supply chains and closed down large segments of the economy in a lot of developed countries for up to 2 years, and then all of the instability going on in China, plus the war in Ukraine, and then, you know, various fiscal problems, you know, the threat of tax increases weighing on the economy, the political uncertainty in the UK, but then also the economy working through all of the fiscal and monetary support that people got during the pandemic. I just think it's impossible to predict how this is all going to play out.
Joseph Sternberg is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. Importantly, he's the author of The Theft of a Decade, How the Baby Boomers Stole the Millennials' Economic Future. We're living in that economic future right now. And we're going to turn to life in London, also living in that economic future, because while there is activity in the street, that would be the Just Stop Oil activists, there's also activity in the city, that's their Wall Street. And the activity is voting with their feet. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.